I'm John Batchelor with my good colleague, Charles Burton. The book is The Beaver and the Dragon, How China Outmaneuvered, Continues, Canada's Diplomacy, Security, and Sovereignty. When it comes to the Carney government, I don't see a sharp turn here. I see an outreach to China, and the explanation I've had so far, Charles, is it has to do with the broken down trade relations with the U.S. However, the vulnerability remains. Is Mr. Carney evidencing that he understands the vulnerability and will go ahead with the negotiation in any event?
I think what we're looking at is the Carney government has done what they call a recalibration of relations with China and are echoing Chinese propaganda language of pragmatic and constructive. And the other one that they use all the time is seeking common ground while setting aside differences. And so the implication seems to be that China will open its market to more import of Canadian commodities. In other words, take more Canadian soybeans and less U.S. and Brazilian ones, for example, in exchange for Canada not challenging China on any of our concerns over security, whether it's Chinese espionage in Canada, interference in democratic processes, subversion of policymakers, harassment of the diaspora that don't agree with the regime, or China's own human rights genocide in the Uyghur regions, or China's empowering of third world dictators by transferring surveillance technology, or buying off support of third world countries through the investment in the Belt and Road program. Canada, I think, wants to have a free trade agreement with China. We were negotiating that under Trudeau, and the negotiations failed because Canada wanted to apply conditionality on gender rights, labor rights, and environmental rights that China wouldn't buy. I think Mr. Carney would be prepared to do a free trade agreement on Chinese terms. There's even talk that Canada might join the Belt and Road Initiative, which would allow for Chinese investment in Canadian infrastructure and so on. The justification that's given for this is that Canada needs to diversify its exports to other countries because of the difficulties in accessing the U.S. market due to tariff policies and policies of reshoring, particularly automobile production. I think Carney would have gone in this direction anyway. He's an essentially business-oriented person who's had extensive experience with the Chinese in the business realm and doesn't seem to appreciate the larger geostrategic threats of not constraining China's malign activities inside Canada, which seem to be expanding, not reducing. So in terms of the EVs, we did impose 100% tariff on EVs. I spoke in the Canadian Parliament in support of this measure, but the other witnesses were talking about, as you say, the enormous subsidy put on the BYD cars that would make it impossible for Canadian auto sector to compete. You know, the unions and the auto companies all supported the tariff. I was the only person that spoke to the security aspect, comparing it, as you say, to Huawei 5G. In fact, I think the EVs are even more powerful in terms of their capacity to gather data, and also the ability of the government to cripple them in time of conflict. So the Canadian government is currently talking about trading off reducing or eliminating the tariff on the EVs in exchange for China taking the tariffs off Canadian canola seed export to China, which is quite a significant Canadian agricultural commodity export involving 40,000 Canadian farmers. The government seems to think that they could convince the Chinese government to manufacture the EVs in Canada to mitigate the threat, the current problem in the auto sector of transfer to the States and lack of confidence in further investment in Canadian plant. I don't think the Chinese government will agree to manufacture their EVs in Canada, but remains to be seen. I think the government of Canada is not well advised on how to deal with an integrated government, party, military, business, unified approach by the Chinese Communist Party, and don't understand how we can benefit from China. We, in the past, Canada in the past, under Prime Minister Chrétien, attempted Team Canada massive trade missions and not speaking out on human rights with a view to gaining more access to the Chinese market. But the statistics show that over the Chrétien period, Canada's share of the Chinese market actually reduced. It didn't increase. So I'm afraid that Mr. Carney may be falling into the same unfortunate trap.
My certainty is that Mr. Harper, in his embassy to China, had three boxes that he wanted to check. The first was, will this bring prosperity to the Canadian people? The second was, does this maintain the security of the Canadian people? And the third one was, does this protect the values of the Canadian people? From what I know of Xi Jinping, all three are at risk when you deal with him. Is Mr. Carney aware of that?
I don't think he is. I think he sees himself as a very shrewd business person who will be able to gain access for Canadian commodities in the Chinese market and appease Canadian public opinion, who are terrified about the impact on Canada's economy of the Trump tariffs. I think a lot of this is mythology, but we also have to bear in mind that currently Canada's total commodity exports to China only amounts to about 4%. We're close up to 80% exports into the United States. And these continue because the free trade agreement between Canada and the United States up to now is still standing. So that the Trump tariffs have applied to metal, steel, and aluminum and some other sectors, but most of our trade remains tariff-free with the United States up to the present. So I think a lot of it is about smoke and mirrors and mythology, and less of it about the actual facts on the ground and benefit to Canada. There are a lot of business elements that would like us to remove any non-trade concerns over relations with China, and those people at present seem to have the upper hand with Mr. Carney.
You mean they don't want to hear values from the Ottawa at all? They don't want to talk about it?
They don't want us to expel any agents of espionage or harassment agents or constrain the activities of agents of influence, right, who seek to influence policymakers.
The Beaver and the Dragon, How China Outmaneuvered Canada's Diplomacy, Security, and Sovereignty. Charles Burton is the author. And if I understand correctly, Canada remains at extreme risk. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.